IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
With the presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear sisters and brothers from all around the world. Welcome back to IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Viewpoint. I am Beta, and once again, I have the honor to be at your service as the host of today's episode. And today with me are two dear guest speakers, Brother Ali and Brother Habib with me. Welcome, brothers. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having us.
Thank you. As all you know, we are living in a world full of different things, different methods, different lifestyles, and on social medias, when you go and just hanging around social medias, you see some celebrities that they are maybe talking about their lifestyles, routines, whatever they do every day, and so on. Okay. And in this episode specifically, we're going to talk about this Islamic lifestyle that we're trying to maintain our everyday life, but I think we are not that much successful. One of the most important aspects of human beings' life in this modern world and era is changing. We are changing rapidly from a kind of, era from another one, from one technology to another one, from this to that. And this changing is a part of us, which for sure nobody can just again, go there and tell me that, no, this changing is something bad. It's not. By itself, it's not something bad. For sure. Okay, so if this changing is accepted here, then these guidelines, these rules to some extent should be changeable. Are they changeable? I mean, the guidelines that we have in Islamic society to choose a lifestyle are changeable or not?
First of all, not every development or let's call it new technology always has the good to it, or just because this, for example, culture or this nation has these developments does not mean that they're always living their best of lives. And you could look at that by the analysis that are available about the happiness of people living in, for example, Western countries and developed countries where they call themselves supreme powers. Look at the mental illnesses that they have. The what do they call it? Depression that they have. Now, whenever I always read about this and or see it with my own eyes, the verse of in verse 123 of Surah Taha always pops up to my mind, which is that whoever stays away from Allah Subhanahu wa Taala's remembrance will live a depressing life, even though that they have all the means to live like kings, yet without this spiritual and mental, let's call it calmness. There is no such thing as being happy, even if you have these developments. Another thing is that, can we change halal and haram? No. It is an obligation, or it is recommended, or for example, it is you have to, as a Muslim, to respect your elder, for example.
Okay.
The means of respecting might change. Like, for example, respecting used to be at one time kissing his hand. Another time it will be standing up for him when he enters a majlis or he enters a place. So the guidelines are still there, but the application of them might differ, yes. But like, you're going to tell me that pork is going to become halal? Or for example, the banking industry is changed, the way of trading has changed, and it falls into, for example, the category of riba or interest. Is it going to make it, because it's developed or something new or something, you know, advanced, is it going to mean that I am allowed to do this action? No, the guidelines do not change.
Let me make it like this. What Sheikh is saying is true. I mean, whatever is halal Muhammad in halal ila yawm al-qiyamah, haram haram ila yawm al-qiyamah. But we want to say that our exposure towards the lifestyle is an active exposure rather than a passive one. To consider us, for example, always in the pastime. No. Definitely, we are saying, I mean, if we define the source is religion and this religion is going to be Islam, we are acting based on Islam, no doubt. But for example, for some followers of some denominations in the past, they thought, for example, camera was forbidden for them for a period of time. For example, for almost 10 to 15 years. Yeah. They said having camera is haram and forbidden. And in case they took a camera from you, they put you in jail. No, we say that, alhamdulillah, in the school of Al-Bayt, this ijtihad, this inferring the issues from the religion is always active. So there is no passivity in it. So we know that whatever, for example, whatever from technology or other things or other issues comes up, we have a solution for that. It doesn't mean that we want to change the entity of it, change the essence of it. No, we do not want to change the essence of everything. We need to cope with different issues in the way that Islam wants us to cope. So it is always there. I mean, you will never find a deadlock anywhere view in this worldview. So, but when you follow, for example, materialistic systems, you are always entrapped with different issues and obstacles. So you are always like you're immersing in we are immersing in a marsh. So in Islamic worldview, in a religious lifestyle, there is no deadlock and we can always find a solution out of it.
Okay, I'm not going to sound like a materialistic person here, but we can see many studies in foreign countries, like they're telling us, for example, I'm just giving you an example, that
please,
alcohol can be somehow, can have some benefits to your body, mm-hmm, to some extent. Okay, mm-hmm, okay, no, just don't look at me.
No, the example she brought up actually was asked to the imam, that's why.
Yeah, yeah.
The example was asked to the imam. A man came to the imam. He said that, look, they're saying that alcohol is actually good for the stomach and I have stomach pain. It's also good for me. He said, no, it's haram. Just leave it out and don't believe them. And there are different narrations about whether it was like, don't believe them. Or at the end of the day, the result was you cannot drink it.
Yeah. Okay, I'm not talking about don't believe it, because we were saying, we were watching that in foreign countries they're drinking alcohol and nothing happens. Mm. Okay, but
nothing happens.
No, don't look at me that way. In a moderate way. I'm not talking about alcoholic people, okay? Yeah. I'm just talking about those people who just drink a little bit of alcohol.
Amelia,
just that. So what is the problem here? What is your rationalization for this?
Okay.
Yeah, brother, happy we start.
At the end of the day, when it's haram, a little bit of it is haram, a lot of it is haram, okay, at the end of the day. That's the simple put forward question for it. Now, going more like philosophically looking at it.
Sheikh, can you continue with the base that we have defined it?
The what?
I mean, we want to say that if something is going to lead you to Hayat al-Tayyibah.
Yeah.
So if it helps you to reach to this goal or not.
Who says that we have the capability of doing that?
We're striving. We're doing our best. We have been asked. For example,
one of the main things, let's put it out there, right? And it's clear. There are still such countries to this day that do it. So I'm going to say it out. Capital punishment. Mm-hmm. To this day, human beings, leave them alone. Some of them believe that capital punishment is a bad thing. Mm. Others believe it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Both this group claims that their intellect. The other group claim that their intellect. Which intellect do we follow? Which intellect does stay away from desire and whatnot? The concept that Allama Tabatabai placed in Tafsir al-Mizan, that when you want to reach with your intellect has to be clean, mm-hmm, purified from desire, from self-gain, self-interest and whatnot. So therefore, intellect by itself, yes, it can reach, but without desires, without self-interest, without bringing in the good for yourself, driving away the bad from you. Mm-hmm. And who has the capability to do that other than an infallible figure or a figure who has been through so much, what they call the Arafah call that spiritual journey, and they have reached the high levels and statuses. So human beings as a whole coming together to come and claim this law is this and that law is that, that's against even the criteria of أَتَقُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. It goes back to the fact that we as submissive, as Muslims, which means to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are not submitting to Allah if we are following what we believe as to be good. This brings us to the happy life. This does not bring us to the happy life.
Mm-hmm. So this is mabna. This is a base that we have defined. So if it helps us, definitely it makes us far from going to the happy life. So if drinking even a sip of it,
yes,
makes us far from others, so it means that it won't help us in this way.
Yeah.
So we have defined a source. I mean, we have defined a base. So we have this base. Does it help us to get closer to Allah or far from that? So I said the lifestyle, Islamic lifestyle, is always intermingled in technically among the theological discussions and debates, is always intermingled with the meaning of life. If this meaning of life is going to reach you to a happy life, So you have to do your best to reach to that point. We don't say that you are finally, inshallah, you will finally reach it, definitely. But we are trying, we are hoping to reach that end.
Can I ask a question? The definition of, first of all, the happiness of life. Secondly, the trials, al-ibtila, that the mu'min has.
True.
There can be no denial about it.
Definitely.
A mu'min does not, the saying is that the al-dunya sijnul mu'min is the prison of a believer.
True.
Al-mu'min muljam, which means that he's caught, like how the horse is caught.
Mm-hmm.
For example, that the trials rush towards the believer.
They are all part of this meaning of life.
Some people may claim that the definition of, what is the definition of happy life? What is the definition of that hayatan tayyiba? What is that definition of to not be in, what do you call it? Distress, or to not be in depression. Can you please give us a definition about it? And I think then it will become clear for the audience that the hayat al-tayyib that the Islamic lifestyle is calling out to.
That's it. We're saying the same thing.
You're not going to give me a definition?
Sorry?
The definition of that hayat al-tayyib.
So, no, I'm telling you this definition that we have given to it. I mean, that is based on the pure Islamic Muhammadan teachings.
Mm.
So this, if we observe that, so definitely it will take us that. Whatever, any ibtilaat, any exams, any examinations, and any, I don't know, obstacles that want to stop us from this movement, they have to be kept aside.
Can I say something? If you tell me if I understood you right.
Yeah.
There are two views. The materialistic view of life.
Yeah.
And the view of a person believing in a creator, let's call it, a religious view.
Divine view.
The divine view. The materialistic people view this world as the goal, the purpose.
Yeah.
If I'm relaxed, sitting, living a king, that's living my life like Beyonce and Jay-Z, then I'm happy.
Yeah.
Then that's it. That's the happy life. But in the religious view, it doesn't always mean to have a good life or to have a happy life that you're rich, you're wealthy, you're the king of the world. You could be the poorest of the poor.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as you are submitting to Allah and your hereafter is clear.
We are right, but it has a complementary here.
What is
the complementary? When you have the second option and you are stepping in the second road, that is the divine or Islamic or religious lifestyle, though you might live like the poor, but you feel like the rich.
Exactly.
Like the same way that Ayub the prophet was living. Mm-hmm. He was in bed for so many years of illness, but he was the richest person over the earth, right? Mm. So anyone could tell Ayub, change your life with mine? He was happy. He was happy with that life that he had. Yeah. Because this spiritual power that he gains from that actually gives him a sense of happiness that he cannot find it in material world.
Nice.
So, brothers, let me intervene in your conversation, which actually was convincing, you know. It's all about this feeling that we have towards our life. It means that we are actually, to some extent, overcome by this materialistic point of view that you have to have this in order to be happy and that and so on. And it's not like that. Thank you, brother. Okay, unfortunately, again, we're running out of time. So, dear listeners, thank you for listening to us. I wish you farewell. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Alaikum assalam. يقولها لنا يوم القيامة أمتي يقولها
شفعة أنا لها